much like leaving. You don't want me to go, but all your tamaracks are needling your beauty in the snow. And I'll see you soon at Christmas, a happy holiday. Oh, how you gonna miss me if I won't go away? I'm overtime, I'm in demand.
Welcome to Folk Roots Radio Overtime. I'm Jan Hall. We're here on Overtime between 10 and 11 a.m. every Saturday morning on CFRU. It's an opportunity to welcome musicians into the studio to play live or to chat about their music. Now, coming up in the next hour, I'm very pleased to welcome back to the show Tia McGrath and Tommy Parham. Tia's just about to release her new album. It is entitled Crazy Beautiful. We're going to be chatting about that. Now, I was hoping that they were going to be able to play live, but unfortunately, Tommy is struggling with allergies today. We'll talk a little bit about that in a few seconds. So we're going to be playing tracks from the album, which will still be wonderful. I'm very much looking forward to hearing that today. So let's start off with a song from the album. This is Baby's Got a New Banjo, and you're listening to Folk Roots Radio Overtime on CFIU 93.3 FM in Guelph.
My baby's got a banjo, plays it all night long. Sitting on the front porch, I just want be his next love song.
That's Tia McGrath with Baby's Got a Banjo on Folk Roots Radio Overtime. Today, I'm Jan Hall. I have Tia McGrath and Tommy Parham with me in the studio. How are you guys doing today?
Good morning, Jan.
Not so bad.
Well,
not so
I'm
bad.
Doing okay. Tommy's been suffering from allergies this morning.
Yeah, so. Unfortunately, Tommy does not have a banjo today. I'm a little disappointed, I got to admit. Aww. But these are two of my favorite people, and they're joining us on the show today. That's a track from the new album, which is entitled Crazy Beautiful. It actually is released on April the 2nd.
That's right.
Which I'm going to mention now. You'll be playing at Uncorked on Main in Georgetown that night. So they're kind of going to get the album the first day.
The CD release party at Uncorked on Main.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay, so it's a year, I think, since we saw you. Last year, we were talking about the album that came before it, which was Break These Chains, another fabulous album. Tell us a little bit about Crazy Beautiful.
Crazy Beautiful, it's been about 2 years in the making, I guess. We started, the title track, Crazy Beautiful, actually, was, I think, the first song that we wrote for it. And we were one day we had on the memorial service for Sarah Burke, the freestyle skier. And after she had been killed in her accident, and they were having this beautiful memorial for her where she was, they were all skiing down the hill with candles and that. And then just showing how she had pioneered women's freestyle skiing and made it, you know, a female Olympic competition. And Tommy and I are watching this, and he had the guitar in his hand. And all of a sudden, we just started writing this song called Crazy Beautiful. And we just kind of set it aside, didn't know really what to do with it. And it just kept emerging. It just kept coming. And then here we are 2 years later, and we're finishing up this new album. And we've been on this spiritual journey, this physical journey, and everything going on with our music. And all of a sudden, the whole Crazy Beautiful, it was. And I said, well, this is the title track. So we re-recorded it and decided to make it the title track.
Now, we're not going to be able to play that one today, right?
No.
I don't think
we'll
have.
We'll save that one for next
we'll
time.
We'll have to say, because we're actually, this album is so new that we're actually playing some pre-release tracks today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is why we started with The Baby's Got a New Banjo. When it's called, not called Baby's Got a New Banjo, because Baby's probably had a banjo for a long, long time. And I'm assuming that's you, is it, Tommy?
Baby's Got a Banjo. That was me, yep. Actually, I was messing around with it while we were in Austin, Texas, recording the first part of the bed tracks. And it's a brand new instrument that we got from our sponsor at Stars Guitars. And it's a six-string banjo that plays like a regular guitar. But sounds exactly like a banjo. And I was just having a ton of fun sitting in the studio with this thing. And I started coming up with this riff, and she started playing around with some lyric ideas while we're having fun. And she just, my baby's got a banjo, and just started. And then we just took off with that from there. And while we were in Louisiana finishing up the tour, we kind of got the whole southern bayou swamp feel while we were there with the musicians that were there and stuff. And we got an idea of how to finish the song, so that's how it ended up where it did.
Is that a song you wrote together?
Yes.
Yeah. And like Tommy said, when we were in, we were down in Baton Rouge, and we were doing a house concert outside, and so there was all it was beautiful. It was nighttime, and they had lights and, you know, stars and everything, but there's this real sultry kind of Baton Rouge thing going on. And at the end of the night, someone said, "Oh my God, there's a copperhead."
In the yard.
And they had seen a copperhead. And so we took all these kind of images home with us, you know, and finished the song. And so kind of came up with this whole sultry, you know, the you know, voodoo mystery, you know, makes the bayou sing.
Yeah.
You know, you guys travel a lot. We're going to talk about your travels a little later in the show. But this album was actually recorded. Was it all recorded in the U.S. or pretty much
No, it is CanCon. It is officially CanCon. We started it in Caledonia. Nick Blagona is a wonderful, fabulous, iconic engineer. I mean, if you Wikipedia Nick Blagona, it's like you're amazed at who he's worked with. And we had worked with him on the last album, the Break These Chains album. He had mastered that for us. So we decided to start with Nick. We went into Caledonia. We laid down what they call stem tracks, which are basically taking the guitar and vocals, just putting them down with a click. Then we went down to Austin. recorded there. We were in Nashville in November, recorded there with our friends. And then we came back and did all the guitars and vocals and mixing and mastering.
Overdubs and mixing and mastering up here.
Yeah. Up here, Canada.
So let's talk about some of the people that appear on the album, because you've got some heavy hitters on this.
Real heavy. In Austin, Texas, we had a Grammy Award-winning engineer, Rick DeLa, start us off with a core group of musicians from Asleep at the Wheel as our house band. And Dave Sanger played drums on this record. And then we had Cindy Cashdollar, who's played on the road and on records with Bruce Springsteen, Bob Dylan, not to mention, like, if you go to her Wikipedia, you're going to be amazed at the albums this woman has played on. And she was happened to be free during the time that we needed her. And because we're in Austin, it's more of an Austin Americana sound. It's not country. It's got this Highway 66 Texas feel to it. And that's why we picked a certain amount of songs for those guys, because we wanted to save the rest for the other musicians we had other ideas for. But we needed that Americana sound on some of this stuff. And those guys stepped in, and it was like, wow, the magic they were creating was amazing.
And then in Nashville, we just happened to be going through, and that's why it kind of epitomizes our whole life, crazy beautiful, right?
Yes,
it's like we were then we were on the road in Nashville, going through to play the Bluebird and go down to a festival. And our friend Tommy Harden, who's Reba's drummer, and he wanted to play on it. So we stopped in there, and he did some tracks, and he brought in John Mayer's bass player. And so it's just been incredible. And then we had the wonderful Andrew Aldridge from Hamilton play electric guitar up here for us.
And Jonathan Edwards up in Ottawa, who engineered our last record, Break These Chains, actually helped us out by redoing some bass tracks and mandolin stuff on the on this new record too. So
tell me, when you get together with all these people, is it just serendipity that everything seems to happen the way it does, or is it a lot of planning? And I imagine there's some people who sit there when they decide they're going to make a record, and they're mm-hmm. talking about all of the people they would like to see if they can get, and they'll go out and get them. But other people, you know, probably early in their careers, really have to depend on the opportunities that arise. And it sounds to me that this is serendipity really is the thing that drives this.
Jan, you really hit it on the head. This album, other albums, I'm more planning, more, you know, Tommy produces, but I'm more the planner type. Like, okay, we need to do this, we need to do that. This one, I just felt like we coasted. Like there was just this beautiful serendipity going on. And things just, like I said, we were going to Austin. So we said, well, you know, we've been wanting to do the work with these people. Here we are. Then Nashville. Well, we need to do the, and it just fell into place. And working with Nick, everything, I learned so much as a vocalist, even just standing in the studio working with him, that the whole album, by the time it was done, I felt like I was just even on this ride, you know? Even sequencing, normally we'll agonize over what order we're going to put the songs in. We were driving home from Windsor from a gig, and we were supposed to have our list together for Nick and go in the next day in sequence. And Tommy talked to him on the phone, and Nick said, you know, I've been just kind of putting things together. I've got a sequence. See what you guys think. And we went home, listened to it, and was like, wow.
It was perfect.
I wouldn't change a thing.
How to do that? And I told her on the way home, I says, if he nails this the first time out, because I've been with her the last few albums, sequencing takes us almost a week to figure out, because we have to put it in such a uniform story thing to get the message across. And Nick nailed it the first time, and I couldn't believe it. I was just totally blown away.
Yeah.
I said, he's a genius.
Yeah. And something that my uncle passed away at the end of this, and my aunt had called me up and said, would you sing Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, the version from True Grit, the movie True Grit? And I said, well, we'll have to learn it. So we learned it, and we went in and sang it. And I said, you know, let's just throw a version of this on the very end of the album, just acoustic guitar. So Tommy played the banjo guitar, and I sang it, and Nick recorded it, and we did it in one take. And that was it.
It was very raw, very, very real. Yeah. And it was it captured a moment in her voice. It was really, really pretty.
You do realize that we're teasing everybody, because that's another song that we can't play today.
Yes.
But that's two other songs that people could look forward to when this album comes out. Let's go to the album just now and play the one I've waited for.
Mm.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about that song?
We wrote this one. It's a love song. And We played it last year at Kingsville Folk Festival.
Yeah,
I remember, we debuted it, didn't we? And what's really pretty about this one is that my mom and dad were just celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary last July. And when they heard it, my mom came up and she said, "That's our song." That's so now I say it's my mom and dad's song. But.
And also this is featuring Cindy on her on her steel guitar and Tommy and Dave from Nashville. So it was a combination of two sessions that made this song. And then we had Andrew Aldridge actually put the icing of the ethereal electric Gretsch guitar on top of it.
Let's play that just now. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio Overtime. I'm Jan Hall. Our guests today, Tia McGrath and Tommy Parham. This is from Tia's new album. It is released on April the 2nd. It's entitled Crazy Beautiful. This is the one I've waited for. You're listening to CFIU 93.3 FM in Guelph. That's Tia McGrath on Folk Roots Radio Overtime today with a song entitled The One I've Waited For. It's from the new album Crazy Beautiful. I mentioned it's going to be released on April the 2nd. And Tia and Tommy will actually be playing at Uncorked on Main in Georgetown that night. It's a wonderful new wine bar and bistro that opened, I think, around the turn of the year, December, January. I think maybe early January it opened. But it's a fabulous venue and very popular.
Yes.
Live music, I think. You're playing the 2nd, which is Thursday evening.
That's right.
And then you have music right through the weekend. So Tell us a little bit about you as musicians, because the interesting thing about Tim McGrath is I have the impression that you're actually more known in the U.S. than you actually are in Canada. Is that because you just spend an awful lot of time down there, and you know you do the Nashville thing, mm-hmm. you do the mm-hmm. Austin thing. Your music has tremendous crossover potential. Mm-hmm. I think that yeah. is huge.
But mm-hmm. we hear that a lot.
Tell us a little bit about that side of things.
Yeah. Well, I was born up here, of course, down in Port Dover area, and when I first started singing, I was doing a lot of work, a lot of writing and recording and released albums and videos on CMT here in Canada. And when I moved to Nashville, I had moved there to write. I'd kind of given up my artist thing at the time. And I don't know, I was going through this period where I just really felt led to just hone my craft of songwriting. So while I was down there, I kind of got out of the Canadian artist music scene. And I was just really focusing on writing, and that was maybe for about 8 years. And so I think people, just now, people are starting, radio stations, we're starting to send to some country radio stations up here. And they're, oh my gosh, where have you been? You know, it's like new. And the folk world, of course, is just basically being introduced to us up here. But yeah, you're right. Like down in the States, I mean, we play the Bluebird Cafe in Nashville, the famous Bluebird, and we host a 9 o'clock round. And people with John Ford Coley and people like that, and they're like, well, how'd you guys get in there? And it's, well, you know, we've lived in Nashville and we've kind of made friends and also the UK. We're going over the UK for 4 weeks and we've got a huge following over there. And I could have extended it to probably 6 weeks if I'd wanted to, but needed to get home, see my babies, you know, my dog and cat. But yeah, so Canada's kind of, it's been one of those things, like I've always been frustrated. I wish Canadians would embrace me a little bit more. But I love Canada. It's home. I mean, we moved back here. Because, you know, I just want to be near family, and I love Canada. I love where we are in the world right now. And so we're blessed to say that this is home, and we are getting more introduced into the music scene up here, as well as the States and England.
Because I think, Tommy, are you originally from Colorado?
Yep.
Colorado, I remember
boy.
That. Yeah. But you both met in Nashville. Isn't that how things happened?
Yeah, she came to the publishing house that I was signed to at the time, and she was invited there by my publisher, who had known her before from a previous recording relationship, and saw that she was in town playing in a little pub called Shaughnessy's. And mm-hmm. and invited her out, and that's where we met. And we just started writing from there.
Did you find it very easy to write together?
Right off the bat, it was. Yeah, I guess it was, because as soon as we started writing, we just started pounding out these songs.
Do you remember our first song?
Passage to India was our first song.
We were sitting there. What are we going to write about? We didn't even really know each other, and there was a magazine sitting there, and on it was a title, Passage to India. And I said, hey, why don't we make India the lady, the girl? And, you know, the guy's trying to find his way into India's heart. So we wrote this song called Passage to India.
Yeah. And,
you know, there is another interpretation for what you just said.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, we'll just kind of leave that in for the imagination of the listener.
The Saturday morning imagination.
So were you an in-house songwriter, or were you working
yes,
on other stuff at that time?
I had
time?
A full staff deal. I wrote songs, had to turn in so many songs per month, and was writing and got a lot of holds and a couple cuts, and just was part of that whole system down there before 9/11 happened. It was like the place to be. And then after 9/11, the whole town changed on a dime. It just completely went in 180. But songs are the still the lifeblood of that town. The songs still keep getting written.
So when you write songs, do you like Baby's Got a Banjo? Is that a single that was the track that you said, well, why didn't you start mm-hmm. off with that? Was the intent to make that a single? I'm always curious to whether when you write songs, whether you think that you want to have something that can be part of an album but also stand alone?
You know, I think it's well, for me, it's both. Like, coming from the world of songwriting and, you know, and I'd written with people like Dan Hill and Randy Bachman. So those guys are like masters at hooks and what's going to work on radio. And so it becomes part of just what you do. But at the same time, we've always been our like lone wolves as far as not wanting to be commercial mainstream music row, and that's kind of why we left there as well, because we felt we had more to say and we wanted to, and our music was going more the folk direction as well. So so when we sit down and write, I think our main thing is we just want to take the idea that we have and make the write the best song that we can. And our commercial kind of Nashville streetwise makes it go more commercial probably than just a narcissistic, it's all about me who really wants to hear my song. And you kind of edit it down, you know, make sure it's a 3.5 minute, whatever. That just comes naturally now. But on the other hand, we don't deliberately sit down and say, okay, we're writing a single, because I just think that would strip away the creativity out of it.
It's funny. It's almost like, oh, that's a bad word to say.
Yeah, you know? To some degree. Yeah.
And I don't feel it. Maybe, I don't know.
But it's a necessary word,
It's
too.
A necessary word. Yeah, and I mean, you know, we all grew up in the world of 45s, and there was nothing better than,
exactly.
than coming. You know, in those days, you could be happy coming home from, you know, we'd go into town and buy a 45.
That's right.
You know, we wouldn't say 45. We're just saying going to buy a single.
That's right.
You know, that would be, and you would come home with, that would be the two sides.
Exactly.
Maybe three songs if you were lucky, but usually just two.
Yeah.
And that made your day in those days. That's, I wouldn't say how long ago that was, but.
But you know, but in a way though, aren't we back to that with the single downloads? Right?
I think so. I think that really has, which is, you know, one of the things I encourage people to do is, you know, don't sit on your music longer than you need to. If you know, sometimes, you know, people have got some really good tracks. They don't have enough for an album. But it's like, well, you know, if there's one or two that you like, why don't you try putting them out on, you know,
YouTube
online?
YouTube or something, exactly.
YouTube or iTunes. You're not going to make a lot of money, but that's not the point anymore.
No.
Because you make money by playing live and, and the music you can sell at a live show.
That's
I mean, when we first started coming, I sat down with Nick to try and figure out what kind of record we wanted to make. We sat down with a lot of songs, and he said, well, these 10 or 12 that you just given me, you know, they sound really great. There's a lot of strong ones here. And we said, well, what do we want to do with them production-wise? And he says, well, let's not think about that. Let's just let the songs tell us what they want to do. And they'll basically go the way they're supposed to go. And Baby's Got a Banjo, I had no clue it was going to end up the way it did when we first wrote it, because it wasn't part of the mainstream of songs that we had decided on, but we wrote it on the road coming back from the recording session. And when we showed it to Nick, he goes, holy, this thing's strong. He says it's one of the strongest songs I've heard in a long time. So we went with it and just kind of let the song tell us what it needed. And as it progressed, we nailed it.
And another – oh, sorry.
No, carry on.
I was just going to say another thing that's come to mind too is, you know, we try to be consistent. And I believe an artist has to be consistent. You have to muck through things, right? Like times will change. Things will change. And, you know, we're from the old school of you do an album. You put out an album. Like you said, you know, you have the single and then you also have an album of, you know, 12 songs or whatever. And about 3 years ago, people were recommending to artists, don't do an album. You know, it's a waste of time and money. But we said, well, you know what? Our fans come to our shows. They come to the festivals. They buy an album. They love to sit down and listen to a whole. And I, as an artist, want to tell a whole story and paint a picture. Now we're finding, and a friend of ours was just telling us the other day that he's read online that big superstores, won't mention names, but soon on their racks in the music department, they're going to be vinyl albums again, because vinyl is becoming so popular again, because they've come up with a way that the vinyl albums don't warp and stuff. So I'm like, it's all going to come around. And I really believe that people will get back into wanting to hear a full project from an artist. You know, there's nothing better than that.
You know, it's funny because I think people want both. I mean, I was just on Folk Roots Radio, which if you're listening and you didn't hear it, you can find online at folkrootsradio.com. But I interviewed Jory Nash, and I was talking about the packaging of his album and, you know, how great it was. And I've noticed that there is really a move with more and more artists, you know, thinking a lot more about what they deliver, you know, whether it's the vinyl or whether it's including, you know, a nice lyric book or whatever with albums. And, you know, obviously it depends if people can afford it. But I think there's a real move to try and consider the fact that the album buyer has not gone away. It's just they, I think, may also consider you know,
oh, exactly,
picking up tracks online as well.
Exactly.
Let's go back to the album, because I do want to try and make sure we get a few more tracks in. We're going to play Mesa Gold just now. So tell us a little bit about that song.
Oh, this is Mesa Gold. This is Tommy's. We wrote this one for his mom. And do you want to tell the story about this?
Well, we were just she just recently passed away a year ago with cancer, and when we were visiting with her the last time, we actually took her out to lunch and we got to spend some time with her, and it was during the fall. And in Colorado, the Upper Mesa where she lives, they call it Mesa Gold because all the trees turn yellow and red and bright red, so the whole mountainside looks like it's on fire with all these beautiful colors.
Aspen trees.
Yeah, and aspen trees and whatnot. And when we were coming home, we had stopped and noticed that the Rockies were sitting behind us. And she came up with a line after I was working on a riff and didn't know what that song was going to be about. We thought it was going to be something completely different when we started it. But when we got home after the funeral, we kind of finished the song the way it needed to go. And it's more about her and what she meant to everyone around us.
Let's listen to that just now. This is Mesa Gold by Tia McGrathy. See, I noticed I said that the right way. I ditched the English accent.
With the American accent.
A couple of seconds. Mesa Gold from Tia McGrath from the new album Crazy Beautiful. And you're listening to Folk Roots Radio Overtime on CFIU 93.3 FM in Guelph.
The Rockies disappear behind me in the past. Leaving's always hard. Never know when I'll be back. Got a memory of you like a picture in my heart. And when I need it most, I can go to where you are. Mesa Gold in your eyes. When you turn to me and smile like a rock, your love is just that strong. Madre linda, I promise you I won't be long. Everything is new. Some things are just worth holding tight on to, like the faith you have in me and all my silly dreams. You never let me down, always there. I promise you, I won't
contain it, but it's out of your hands. You're caught in the thick of your best laid plans. All you can do is keep moving the smoke away.
That's Tia McGrath with Moving the Smoke Away from the new album Crazy Beautiful. Before that, we listened to Mesa Gold, another song from the Crazy Beautiful album. And it was actually Tia's suggestion that we actually put the two songs on together just to get that feel. great songs.
Thank you.
I want to go back to Mesa Gold first because there's some wonderful musicianship on that.
Warren Hood. This kid, he's got to be in his early 30s, but he plays like he's had that fiddle and mandolin in his hand since he was 2 years old. His father is a and his name is, escapes me, but is one of Austin is true pioneers of the whole Americana feel, and Warren's grown up with that whole feel, and he's one of the hot sought after guys in Austin when it comes to getting that Americana sound. You get him to play fiddle and mandolin, and he did some beautiful work on that song. Mm-hmm. He really did.
You know, you talk about the Americana sound, and I tell people I play Americana on this show, but mm-hmm. I struggle myself to say, well, what exactly? I mean, it's
right,
like country
right.
and, I mean, crossover country folk songs that come from
yeah,
the
what
U.S.
is it,
have
really?
That Americana
yeah,
sound.
Yeah, and yeah, what do we call it in Canada? You can't say Canadiana, really, because Canadiana is a different thing, isn't it?
Kind well, it yeah, yeah, it is, because, you mm-hmm. know, Canadiana, you kind of think, okay, that's like the Mounties and moose and mm-hmm. beavers. And,
yeah,
you
yeah,
know.
Yeah.
These
a bit of
PEI.
the Celtic
yeah.
thing and
the
more.
Celtic
potatoes.
Thing.
Yeah. Snow.
Snow.
Yeah. But I think to get ownership of it, you just have to talk about it, which is basically mm-hmm. what happened with Americana. Because I get albums all the time that people say, this is Americana. I put mm-hmm. it on. No, I think that's folk.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know, I always feel it's very much more comfortable if I'm getting music from Nashville or music from Austin, then I feel much more comfortable saying, oh, yeah, that's real Americana.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know.
It's a different
yeah.
feel, and I noticed it because we Tia and I work with so many musicians, and we've done the Nashville demos and records and stuff like that with other projects and things, and it has its own sound. But when you do Americana, it's like that mid-America thing, and it's like this kind of stuff that has a different texture in it.
And you mentioned Route 66 earlier. And
I was getting ready to go there.
Like, if you can picture yourself driving Route 66,
if you're on Highway 66 and your top's down and you're listening to songs you don't normally hear on what they call AAA radio, they don't usually hit those markets. It's a kind of real, honest, blue-collar feel. It really is. Yeah. And it comes from the musicians that live it, you know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, the second song we played, Moving the Smoke Away, that was a song you actually played, I think, last time you were on the show a year ago.
Yeah.
People want to listen to that. It's a great interview and songs you played that day. Tell us a little bit about Moving the Smoke Away.
We had just written it. Last January 2014, we had gone out to California on a writing trip. And we were going to be writing with this wonderful songwriter, Kevin Fisher. And we'd heard that he'd had hits with Rascal Flatts and all kinds of people. And so we were staying with our friend Stephen McClintock and getting ready to write with Kevin that day. We had been through a horrendous, horrendous trip. We had been at Folk Alliance in Kansas City. We had done our work, done our official showcase and everything. And the whole process, like an hour before we get up to do our showcase, we received the call that Tommy's mom was passing and that, you know, so we're dealing with this on the whole trip. The next day we had to fly into California and we actually got the call the Sunday morning that she had passed. So we're then making plans to get back to Colorado for the funeral and having to cancel shows and stuff like that. But we were here in California and we had, you know, 2 days, so we might as well forge ahead and write. You know, she would want that. So we get up in the morning, we're going to write with Kevin, and I'm just so stressed and so out of it. I don't have a lyrical idea to save my life. And Tommy's in with Stephen and they're making breakfast and the smoke detector goes and Tommy says, "What are you doing, Steve?" And he says, "Oh, don't worry, Tommy. I'm burning the waffles, but I'm moving the smoke away." And I thought, oh, there's our idea. So we took it to Kevin and he said, "I love it. I love it." So we wrote that about adversity, really, and went and had Mexican food for lunch and came back and we wrote another one called With Love. And we just found out that one's been recorded by an independent artist out of Austin, Texas.
Wonderful.
Yeah, so it was a successful writing day.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes you just got to go through those things.
Well,
right?
And that is great to hear that.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, you haven't been able to play live today. But
Blame
you did say that you might sing a little a cappella for us. And I know there's a song, Abigail, from the wonderful Break These Chains album that it would be great to hear again.
Okay.
Tell us a little bit about why you'd like to play that song for us today.
I'm going to send this out.
Sing it, yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Jan. I'm going to send this out to my brave little friends down in Oklahoma. The other night there was tornadoes whipping through Oklahoma, and our friend Rebecca and Eric, their little girls, they're 8 and 10 years old. They were hiding in the closet with the tornado warnings whipping around. And they were singing Abigail. It's their favorite song. And she posted this on Facebook, and I just had chills when I saw it. And the little girls are singing away, and they're going, "Abigail, what were you thinking? Wading chin high through that icy cold lake. Was it fate or an act of compassion? Tell me, what does it take to be a woman of such courage and strength?" And we were like, there's our little ladies of courage. Oh, my gosh, you know. And so our song gave these little girls courage through a tornado, which is, it sums it up, what we do, why we do it.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, I got goosebumps. And if I get goosebumps, not only have we had a successful show, but it was great to hear you sing that for us today. We're going to go back to Break These Chains just now. We're running a little short on time, so I want to make sure that we do get a couple more songs in. We're going to play one of my favorite songs on that album, that is Reckoning. It's a great album in its own right, Break These Chains. And, you know, people who are coming to the show at Uncorked on Thursday night, April the 2nd, might like to pick both albums up. But tell us a little bit about this particular song.
Reckoning. We wrote this with a friend of ours, Jeff Woodcroft. We were sitting up in Minden. And he is a minister at St. John's Church in Winnipeg, Manitoba. And he was on sabbatical, and so we were on our way up to Algonquin Park camping, and we decided to stop in and see Jeff. And so we're all just sitting around solving some world problems, you know. and talking about things, and there might even been a glass of wine involved, I think. And we started writing this, and we all got up the next morning and said, "What did we write last night?" And we finished it, and so it's really a cool song, and we like to start our shows with it a lot of times.
This is T. McGrath from the album Break These Chains and a song called Reckoning, and you're listening to Folk Roots Radio Overtime on CFIU 93.3 FM in Guelph. T. McGrath with Reckoning from the album Break These Chains on Folk Roots Radio Overtime today. I'm Jan Hall. We are here between 10 and 11 a.m. every Saturday on CFIU. It's an opportunity for us to have people play live in the studio and talk in depth with artists about their music. And today we are joined by T. McGrath and Tommy Parham talking about the great new album from Tia, which is entitled Crazy Beautiful. Remember, she is at Uncorked on Main in Georgetown on Thursday evening. I think it's from 7 till 10.
That's right.
Three sets. Mm-hmm. Should be a great night. And it is a fabulous restaurant. I hopefully will be there myself. But
It's supposed to be a real hot spot. So we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's great. Tell us about some other local shows, how people can learn more about your music.
On Friday, May 3rd, And Saturday, May 4th, we're going to be doing a couple CD release concerts in the Port Dover Harbor Museum. And they're raising money for some new artifacts. So Angela had actually put Abigail, they're playing the video down there in the museum. So we had discussed doing some shows. So Friday, May 3rd, April. I'm sorry, did I say May?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, April. I'm way ahead of the UK tour. Friday, April 3rd is sold out.
Yeah.
So we've added the second show Saturday, April 4th, right. I believe, down at the Port Dover Harbor Museum. And you can get tickets, I think they're $15 each, through the museum by just calling there. And you can get their number on their website, the Port Dover Harbor Museum.
That's awesome. Well, I'm sure you're going to have a wonderful time. And then you're in the UK. Just very briefly tell people about how can they can learn more about that.
Yeah, 4 weeks in the UK. So for all of our UK fans and listeners, just go to my website at tiamcgraff.com, which is MCGRAFF, as in Frank. And you can see the list of dates and everything there. And we're all over. Wales, England, Scotland, all over.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome fun.
We have time for one more song today. We're going to dip back into the new album, which, remember, is Crazy Beautiful. And rather appropriately, we're going to play The Long Ride Home. So tell everybody about that song.
Well, it's funny because on our way over here today, our co-writer on this, David Starr, they're going to be meeting us in England at the end of the trip and doing a week with us. And so we were discussing what flights we're all bringing back. And he said, yeah, we'll be taking the long, in brackets, plane ride home. And I said, after 4 weeks, we're going to be so happy.
So well, that's good. I'm sure you'll have a wonderful time. Tia and Tommy, it's been a great pleasure having you join us.
Always a pleasure.
Folk Roots Radio Overtime today. I'm Jan Hall. You will be able to listen to this show again on Mixcloud. You can check us out on Mixcloud at Folk Roots Radio. And also check out our website at folkrootsradio.com. We'll also have a link to the interview up there as well. It's been a great pleasure. We'll leave you today with Long Ride Home. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, Jan.
Wonderful as usual.
I miss the Lone Star sun coming up. The morning in your eyes. One more day away from the ones I love. Every dreamer pays a price. And this kind of lonely will make a girl think twice. I've been alone.